Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And as we always are for the first hour on Fridays, we are joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio. Preds back on the ice last night, a 4-2 win over the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena, and we've got Max until 10 a.m. Max, what's going on?
Hi, Jake. Yeah, it was great to be back last night. Great to see everybody. And those 3 weeks without a Preds game, even though we had the Olympic hockey entertaining us, it felt like way more than 3 weeks. It felt like a mini offseason for me. So selfishly, I was missing it, and it was good to get back with a fun win on home ice.
It did feel like it was a while, and it was nice last night. I got in the car after the Vandy women's game and flipped on the radio and got to hear Pete Weber call the game-winning goal. Literally within 30 seconds of me getting into my car, Ryan O'Reilly nice. Scored to make it 3-2. And before we get into the game, speaking of Pete Weber, I know you were a part of the surprise yesterday as Pete was told that he is going to be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. How cool was that to be able to be there for that moment where Pete gets a well-deserved honor to be included into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that was really cool, and it's cool to see some of these surprises in person. The Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame does a really cool thing where they basically get everybody in the same way, which I love, and they make it a really big deal, and that makes it an even bigger honor. So, yeah, incredible for Pete. Crispy is already in, and Crispy demands a recount of why they didn't go in together, I think, which is funny. But yeah, so happy for Pete and looking forward to this summer when that happens.
Yeah, really cool to see that. I know they got D-Mace in pretty much the exact same way last year, so it was cool to see that yesterday on Chasing Big Joe. And then, of course, a great game last night, 2-2 late in the final minutes. Ryan O'Reilly able to score from in front of the net, make it 3-2. Steven Stamkos would close it out with an empty netter for a 4-2 win over Chicago. Max, in general, your takeaways from that first game back? Obviously, a lot of the guys had some rust to shake off. Maybe Eric Haula and UC Saros trying to catch up after getting back to Nashville late on Tuesday. But the team came out and were able to get a big tone-setting win coming out of the break.
Yeah, I think it was a solid showing. And I think it was a game that the Preds really, really needed against a team below them in the standings. And they played that way. The only thing that kept this from being a cleaner win was a lot of penalty killing. And the Preds had to kill 5 penalties, including a double minor in the first period. They were shorthanded 6 of the first 10 minutes, and the PK was great. They went right after the Blackhawks. It seems like they changed a few things up on their approach and their keys, and they worked really well, and the Blackhawks definitely were not expecting it. The 3 first period power plays were very well killed, and that set a tone for the game. And from there, Philip Forsberg got a goal late in the first. Felt like the Preds could play with a lead. And then all of a sudden they were down early in the third, but they had a comeback in them. Matt Wood ripped one for a power play goal to tie it up in the third. And then with under 4 minutes left, a really nice rush goal from Roman Josi with speed to Ryan O'Reilly. And that was enough to take care of it. Defense and Eustace Onnen had it covered the rest of the way. So I thought it was a good team effort for the Preds. I thought everybody looked rested. I really did. And I think that made a difference. Stamkos was flying. And that's not too different from what was happening before the break. But to see the fresh legs and the clean wheels for these guys, I think it really made a difference. And I think the Preds got a win that could get them started as they go into a week where they're going to be facing teams that are fighting for the same thing they are or ahead of them.
Yep, and the Preds are now just 2 points back of that final wild card spot in the Western Conference. You mentioned that they were able to get the wheels back going there. Team got off to a better start. 1-0. Did not fall behind. We said heading into the break that that was a trend that you hoped maybe a little time away would stop. It was good to see the Preds finally score the first goal of the game.
Yeah, well, you can thank the PK for putting them in that situation.
Right.
But what a nice first goal it was. I mean, so Artem Levchinov, second overall pick last year for the Blackhawks, he had a pretty rough night on the back end, and he just coughed this one up right to Philip Forsberg, and Phil ripped it. And look, I wanted to see some vengeance from Phil. Phil plays great when he's mad, and he got a raw deal with Team Sweden in the Olympics. He's not the 13th best goal scorer in the nation of Sweden. I'd put him probably number one, and you could debate the top of that list if you want to, but I don't think what happened in the Olympics sat well with Phil, and I hope he takes that personally and brings it right back to Nashville. And look, with that shot last night, that was perfect. But look, when you turn the puck over to the leading scorer for the other team, yep, in that spot, that's what's supposed to happen. So I think the Preds took advantage of some Blackhawks mistakes last night. They're not a great team right now, but look, after 3 weeks off, you never know what can happen, especially when you give up 5 power plays and you only have 1 power play in the game. But the Preds were 4-for-5 on the kill and 1-for-1 on the power play. So that equalized that pretty quickly and gave the Preds everything they needed to win that game last night.
You talk about the third period, 3 goals to get the win. And the first one came from Matthew Wood. And we've had a ton of discussions, Max, when you've been on, about Matthew Wood this year. The hot start, but then went cold a little bit, got sent down to Milwaukee. How important do you think that goal was for him coming back up and being able to get off to a good start coming out of the Olympic break?
Yeah, it was really important for him, Jake. And I think Wood can get propelled into a bigger role in the lineup here if he keeps shooting like that. And that was a power play goal, second unit. And they had a really good shift with Holla, Bunting, and Evangelista working down low. Wood kept himself available at the point, was able to reload, grip, change the angle, and ripped a wrister perfectly. So his tools need to shine through for the Preds down the stretch here. They don't have to be there every single game. He doesn't have to score every single game. He doesn't have to get more than 1 goal a week, even especially if he's still in a fourth line role like he was last night. But for him to go down to the AHL, get a few games in there, come back, score a really meaningful goal for the team, and then the part of it that I loved the most, it was by far the biggest celly we'd ever seen from Matt Wood in the NHL, who is normally so stoic. And look, it was a big spot in the game. It was a big spot for him coming back from a week down in the AHL. And also, I think it's personal because he has 3 really good friends on the other team for the Blackhawks. Connor Bedard is one of his best friends in hockey. They lived together for a year when they were preteens in Vancouver. And he played with Sam Renzel and Oliver Moore last year on the University of Minnesota. So I think we're going to see Matt Wood going up against his buddies from the Blackhawks and the Preds building core and the Blackhawks core that's a little further along for a long time. So I just loved seeing that emotion from him. Like, that's what we need. We need him in every game. And I don't doubt that he's not in the games when we're not seeing the emotion, but you know that takes it up a notch for Matt Wood.
Right. I mean, it was great to see him get back out there and get that goal, and you hope that that can spark something for him down the stretch here as the Predators get ready for an important week leading into the trade deadline, going to Dallas tomorrow night, then back home for an afternoon game against Detroit on Monday, leading into a back-to-back against Columbus next Tuesday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Again, we've got Max Herz with us for the full first hour of the show talking Preds. We'll also get Max's thoughts on the Olympic gold medal game, because when we talked to Max last week, we were right in the middle of the first semifinal between Canada and Finland. So we'll get his thoughts on that and much more. Big week for the Predators, some of the roster moves, and all of that coming up throughout the first hour of the show. Also, last chance this week to get some Eagles tickets. The Eagles are playing First Bank Stadium on May 9th. We've got two more tickets to give away. We will do that later on in the show as well. 615-737-1025. We are off and rolling on this Friday morning. More with Max Herz when we return. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, Max Herz, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Tonight, Vanderbilt baseball takes on UC Irvine at 4 p.m. You can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville app. Coverage is presented by Gary Force Acura. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you. We've got Max for the full first hour here on Next Man Up and talking lots of Preds. But of course, the big story of the week in hockey, the U.S. wins the gold in both men's and women's hockey out there in Milan. Max, your thoughts on that gold medal game on Sunday morning. Early goal from Matt Boldy made it 1-0. Cale Makar answers back in the second period, but Jack Hughes able to net the overtime winner, and the U.S. sweeps the gold medals in men's and women's hockey. What a game. Both games came down to overtime, and the U.S. able to come out on top in both.
Yeah, I don't know how you could draw it up any better for those two gold medals to get one, and I think it's just so good for the game, and obviously it was an incredible game, and Eric Halla did interviews yesterday, the first time we had seen him since he came back from the Olympics, and he said Finland played six games to win the bronze. It felt like they played five game sevens in a row. So I think that sums it up pretty well with what the Olympics felt like for the players. And that's as good as you're going to see. For years, it's been, how do you make the All-Star game better? It's, well, you got 40 all-stars out there playing the hardest they'll ever play. And that's it. And we saw it in the Four Nations. We saw it in the Olympics. And I think the NHL has to keep finding a way to make at least USA Canada happen once a season and make it really personal for these guys, which it already is, because it brings out the best and the best players. And I really hope it drags new fans into the sport who want to see Connor Hellebuck play for the Jets and want to find a way to do that, or want to see one of the Hughes brothers play, or whoever you fell in love with from the tournament, Larkin, Boldy. Like I think it really is a pretty likable group of players. And I don't think Canada is a villain per se, like they could be on the other side of this, but like if I were seeing McDavid, Crosby, McKinnon, and Celebrini playing for the first time together, I would want to see these guys on their own team. So I think it swings both ways, and the players were really fortunate and thankful to be able to be back in the Olympics. And I think it's a mistake if it doesn't continue. So I think it was a massive win for everybody. And I think the sacrifices the NHL made to have the players in there were absolutely worth it. And it played out so perfectly. And I think the best part was, as great as the final was, how close every game was.
Right.
Like I think every game was closer than you thought it would be on paper, really the entire men's tournament.
Yeah, the only two games in the bracket that weren't, or at least quarterfinals and on, that weren't close was Slovakia, Germany, and then the U.S. against Slovakia. Every other game came down to the wire, including that Canada-Finland game. We were watching it while you were in studio last Friday, Max, and it really looked like UC Saros and Eric Halla and Finland was going to be able to pull it off. Halla had the shorthanded goal to make it 2-0. Saros played very well in that game. It's just tough when you're playing a team of all-stars, like you said, in Canada, just unable to pull it off. But really proud of the way that the Preds went out there and competed, especially for that Finnish team.
Yeah, I think it was a good showing for all of the Preds who went. And I think Halla was one of Finland's most important players. He ended up with a point per game, and as we know, that's not his role. He was playing a similar role on the national team that he was for the Preds. He's a bottom six center, doing a ton of killing, playing some matchup, and going up against some big guys. And I was just so impressed with how he handled things, and that fourth line was really good. He and Yoel Armia were so good together, and Saros was the reason that they got as far as they did. And I think it was just so great to see him in big games and competing. And that Canada game just shows what's so great about the matchups that the Olympics creates. It's the best players as hungry as they've ever been in the closing minutes, fighting for a dream, going up against an elite goalie. And we get that the NHL playoffs, but it's not quite the same as what we get in the
Right.
Olympics. So it was cool to see Saros dropped into that. And we really want to see him turn in that type of effort in the NHL playoffs. And I think he showed a lot of people that he can do it and he can be that big game goalie going up against the best guys.
And I mentioned in the first segment, Juuse Saros was the backup yesterday. Erik Haula did play, but those guys, I guess it took them a little bit longer than expected to get back from Milan.
Yeah, I think the whole Finnish team flew back together, but then got stuck in New York City.
Gotcha.
Seemed like was what happened. As they all tried to split back up and get on regular flights to get back to their NHL cities. So I think it was definitely the right move to start Onanen last night, and that ended up working out perfectly. And you kind of knew Erik Haula was going to go. It's different for a skater. I think most teams are sitting out their Olympic goalies in the first game. Like the Preds play the Stars tomorrow. Stars played on Wednesday. That's their only game they've played since they got back. And Ottinger didn't play, and he didn't even play in the Olympics. So
right.
the travel and the timing and all of that, I think works out totally fine. Saros will definitely play tomorrow, and then they've got a back-to-back Monday, Tuesday. So I would assume Saros Monday, Onanen Tuesday. But Onanen's been good. I thought he was really solid last night, and he made a breakaway save on Connor Bedard right around the halfway point of the game that kept it tied, and no rebound on the breakaway either, and he was there. I think he performed really well, and he's locked in after 3 weeks without playing while he was rooting for Juuse Saros in Finland from Nashville.
Yeah, and it worked out perfectly that Juuse Saros, I think obviously you'd prefer to have had him play, but the good news is you got the win, and now he'll be ready to go against Dallas tomorrow night, and Jake Oettinger presumably will be as well. Oettinger and Steve Janicek, are they the only two U.S. players ever to not see a minute of ice time and win a gold medal? I don't know about
that's a good question.
The 1960 team, I don't know, but I know 1980, Janicek was the only one, and then Oettinger was the only one for the U.S.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't think about that, and they did a really good job with that in the Miracle documentary talking about that. And I think that's the type of stuff they put in there for the people who aren't everyday hockey fans to
right.
understand, like, this is the teammate-type sacrifice. I think Oettinger probably had it a little more glamorous. He wasn't skating suicides in Norway along the way or anything like that. But, I bet you're right. They might not even have had a second goalie in 1960
right.
for all we know.
Right. That's a very good point. So Jake Oettinger will be in net tomorrow when the Preds head out to Dallas to take on the Stars. Back to the Preds here. Max, we got a text from 2503 saying Juuse is beating Father Time and carrying the team in crunch time in the third period. He set up that goal for Ryan O'Reilly to go ahead 3-2 late last night. I think he has just been sensational since he's gotten healthy. What have you seen from Roman Josi that has him playing some of his best hockey right now?
Well, it makes me think of what he said in the offseason when he spoke to media for the first time talking about his diagnosis and his treatment for POTS, which was the non-hockey condition
right.
that had been slowing him down. And he basically said, I've been feeling serious fatigue for the last 2, 3, 4 seasons and playing through it. And when you take a step back, you think about the fact that this is one of the biggest minutes eaters in the NHL. He's certainly in the second half of his career at age 35, 1,000 games in. And he's playing through fatigue and still doing everything he's doing. And then you think, well, if he gets this figured out, which he thought he did at the beginning of the season, and it's turned out he's been right. The only thing that stopped him this year is a totally unrelated hockey injury.
Right.
If he gets this figured out, I mean, what's it going to be like? Like, is he going to be able to turn back the clock? And I think our texter is right. I think that's really what's happened. And he makes such a big difference when he's in there for the team. And he missed so much time last year. He wasn't full strength a lot of the time. And the Preds are our playoff competitive team when Roman Josi is in the lineup. It's really that simple. And they were much less competitive when he was injured early in the season this year. And it makes a huge difference when your all-world defenseman's in there. And we saw it for Switzerland. Kevin Fiala gets hurt. Do they have anything left without the guy who's supposed to be one of their top scorers? And Josi just does so much that he and Nico Hischier and Timo Meier and Nino Niederreiter and the couple other NHL defensemen they have were able to almost get Switzerland to the medal round against teams with way more firepower.
Right.
So everything Josi does, like that goal last night, it just so much speed, leading the rush, knowing when to jump in. He's changed his game a little bit this year, and that comes from Luke Richardson, who's a first-year coach on the Preds coaching staff, coaching the defensemen. He used to be the head coach of the Blackhawks. And he spoke with Roman Josi coming into the season saying, we don't need you to do it all this year. You need to be a little bit smarter about when you lug the puck up, when you're joining the rush. And that's something to make the system work a little bit better. And Josi has conformed to that. He's taken to the coaching really well. And still in moments where he can change the game, he has changed the game. And coming back from the Olympics, he got back over the weekend after Switzerland lost in the quarterfinals. He played almost half the game last night because Brady Shea got hurt in the second period and missed the entire period. So I there's nothing more you could ask from Josi. It's unbelievable to see the level he's gotten back to and just how easy he makes it look.
Yeah, no, it's been great, and you mentioned it. He went out and played in the Olympics, too. It's not like he got a three-week break to reset. He has been playing a ton of ice time for this team and made a huge impact for the Predators since he's gotten healthy over the last couple of months. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, you can text or call our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 5136 does mention that Fiala's injury with Switzerland is a reason why the NHL may not want their players in the Olympics in 2030. Sidney Crosby also out for 4 weeks, Max. So that's going to be a question over the next few years as they decide whether to let the NHL players play again next time out.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to be some trade-offs. I think the NHL is going to have a little more control over the way the hockey tournament works with the IHF. That would be my suspicion of what the NHL wants. I have no clue if the Olympics or the IIHF are willing to give it to them, but I think they'd like to be able to help run the tournament a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I think is reasonable. So I think the players will throw a fit if they can't go back. I think with the collective bargaining agreement sorted out in the NHL right now, I think it's the number one issue on players' minds with how well this went. So I don't know when exactly they'd have that conversation, but I think the NHL will be hosting some US-Canada or some Four Nations or a World Cup type scenario. So I think that will come first, and then they can have the discussion about the Olympics. But I think it was clear the Olympics creates a level of best on best that you can't just set up on the NHL's dime. So I think they will find a way to make it happen as long as the NHL can get a little something more out of it.
615-737-1025. You can text or call. We've got 30 more minutes with Max. When we come back, we'll talk about some Preds roster moves. We mentioned Matt Wood is back. He scored last night. Zach LaRue also called up. We can talk about him returning to the Preds roster. And also, we are a week away from the trade deadline. It's been mostly quiet so far. Could we see a flurry of moves from the Preds and beyond over the next 7 days? 615-737-1025. Catch Derek Mason with 1025 The Game live at Music City Indian, located at 1003 8th Avenue in Nashville tomorrow from noon to 2. Nash and the Preds energy team will be there. Plus, you can enter to win Preds tickets and your chance to win a custom Predators Indian motorcycle signed by the whole team from Law Tigers and Music City Indian. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly, next man up. You're on 1025 The Game. Right Time HVAC and Cromwell Media are teaming up to bring comfort back to your home. Is your heating system struggling or completely out of commission following the winter storms? Nominate yourself for the Right Time Home Rescue and tell us your story. Enter today at thegamenashville.com/HVAC and you can win a new HVAC system installed by Right Time HVAC. Right Time HVAC, locally owned and operated. There's never a wrong time to call right time. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly. Max with us for the full first hour of the show talking Preds. Max, we mentioned Matt Wood is back up with the NHL team. So is Zach LaRue. Your thoughts on LaRue returning to the NHL roster after spending most of this season down at Milwaukee?
Yeah, it was definitely time, and he definitely anticipated being in the NHL before late February this year. He pushed hard to make the team out of camp, thought it could be his first opening night, didn't work out that way. And he did get called up early in the season, but came up with an injury, ended up having to get that taken care of, and we didn't see him again until this week when he came back for some practices. And I think it's the right decision by the Preds to get him in there and let him run the rest of the season. And it's important to get him on the roster before the trade deadline because your call-ups are limited after the trade deadline. So they made it clear that him and Wood are first in line to get those minutes, and both of them played. Ozzie Weisblatt did not play last night, so those guys are going to get calls. And Andrew Brunette was complimentary of LaRue after the game. He played under 10 minutes, but he played some good PK time. Brunette thought he was good. He was on top of pucks, so yeah, I think he was impactful in the game playing on the fourth line with Wood and Tyson Jost. And I think that line generated a little bit. They didn't generate any clear chances, but they had the puck in some scoring areas. And I was pretty happy with their performance. So I think first NHL game in 10 months went pretty well for LaRue. And the Preds are going to try and commit to him down the stretch as best they can.
Yeah, and good to see some of these young guys getting their opportunities, and you could see more guys making their way up throughout the end of the season as the trade deadline is, again, a week from today. So some tough decisions to be made for Barry Trotz. It's been relatively quiet since the trade embargo was lifted. Was it last week, earlier this week, that they were allowed to start trading again?
I think it was Sunday or Monday.
Sunday, yeah, because the only trade I've seen since then was the Avalanche and Penguins. Avalanche getting Brett Kulak, Penguins get Samuel Girard and a second-round pick. So it's been relatively quiet. I would guess that probably changes over the next few days as teams start to get a feel for where they are in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, and I think it could set up for one of the busier deadlines the NHL has had recently, just because you're in such a small time frame to get it done post-Olympics and pre-deadline. So it's interesting because a month and a half ago, it looked like there could be a lot of buyers in the Eastern Conference, and things have changed a little bit with that. A lot of teams have fallen out of the race. So it'll be interesting to see what teams that on paper should be higher up do. Like, the Panthers are 8 points out right now.
Right.
We know they're good, but are they going to go as all in as they did during the last two cup years? You still have the Capitals and the Blue Jackets in the mix. Do the Senators think they have a shot? They're 7 points out. And then everybody from there down, I think, is ready to sell. I think the Flyers, the Rangers are going to be huge sellers. They've already traded Panarin to the Kings. The Devils obviously have great players, but they are way out of it right now. They're 13 points out. So, I mean, what's gone wrong there? I think it has become less of a seller's market than it was initially supposed to be, but the teams at the top are so tight. I think teams like the Wild and the Avs, who just made that defenseman trade, like you said, Jake, presumably to clear some cap space to bring in a forward, I think there are teams that are going to be big buyers, and I think those bidding wars definitely still could happen.
Yeah, and it is crazy looking at those Eastern Conference standings. A lot of the teams that beginning of the year you probably would have expected would be right at the top of the standings may end up being sellers. You mentioned Florida, 8 points out with 24 games to go. Toronto, New Jersey, and New York are the three worst teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't know if I would have expected to say that at the beginning of the year. I think that all those teams could end up looking to move off some of their players, but we'll see if the Predators can find some targets to send some of their expiring contracts. I know Holla's been discussed. Michael Bunting has been discussed. How aggressive do you think the Predators will be as we get to now 4 games left until the Predators have to make some decisions on these guys?
Yeah, I think it's all about what the offers are. The Preds are firmly in this thing. They're 2 points out. So I think it could be a disservice to the players if they really make big trades in the wrong direction. I still think Barry Trotz will consider what's good for the team long term. I think he understands he has some really valuable assets here and players that a lot of other teams will want. But I think the fact that the Preds are good could lead you to be really patient and say, no, I need more. Like, if I'm going to part with this guy, I need more. This guy's producing for us right now. He has value for us, and we're not trading anybody away unless we get a monster return or a prospect that we love or a young player who means something or a first round pick. So I think it really puts the Preds in a driver's seat that they may not have expected with how well their tradable guys are all playing. And look, the fact that you have players that other people want means that you could have a good team yourself. And
Very
I
true.
think the Preds keep showing that they have enough to push for this thing. And I think they're just as good as the teams they're chasing.
Yeah, and that's the question that Barry Trotz has to answer is, do you want to tear down part of this team that's making a push for a playoff spot right now? Or do you say, let's let these guys go do it, and maybe that does cost us assets in the future? But you're right. There is value to some of the guys that are being talked about with the Predators. And I know I saw we mentioned how well the Predators played out there in the Olympics. I saw a lot of tweets saying that Erik Haala's stock might have gone up even higher considering the way he played for Finland over there.
Yeah, I think it surely did. And what we've seen from Haala this year, I laud his play as much as I possibly can, because he's come in as someone the Preds got for a fourth round pick, brought back for a year, was looking for a change of scenery after finding a home the last 3 years with the Devils. And he has fit in so well and played a bigger role than what the Preds were expecting. And I don't know where the Preds would be without him this year. And if you trade him away, where are you going to be without him, you know? So he's been a major guy that's held it all together, not at the bottom of the Preds lineup, but really in the middle, at the core of the Preds lineup as a top six center. So I think you demand a massive return from the other contending teams that would want him because of that. I think he, as much as any of the other guys on expiring contracts, is someone who really costs you a lot in game if you don't have him anymore. So I think if you do trade Haala, you need to make sure you get really valuable assets in exchange for him, or a first round pick, something like that. So I think Barry Trotz can be patient listening to offers, take it all the way up to the deadline, and see what people are willing to give him until he can't say no.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that Erik Haala, the way he's been playing and the value he's had to the Predators, who have been thin at center this year. I think that's you're going to have to get a pretty big return if you're going to move off him over the next week. 615-737-1025. Again, a week away from the trade deadline in the NHL, Barry Trotz has some decisions to make about what to do with this current Preds roster, as Nashville currently sits two games back of Seattle for the final wild card spot. Four games coming up over the next week. Two at home, two on the road. We'll talk about the week coming up for the Predators, starting with Dallas tomorrow when we come back. We've got Max Herz for one more segment. If you have any questions for him, you can text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly. Final segment with Max from Preds Radio. Preds back on the ice last night at Bridgestone Arena, got a 4-2 win over the rival Chicago Blackhawks. Big one coming out of the Olympic break, but things speed up quickly coming out of that three-week hiatus. The Preds are back on the road tomorrow. They'll take on Dallas before returning home for a back-to-back. They'll face Detroit here on Monday, then go to Columbus on Tuesday. Max, it's a busy week for the Preds coming up here ahead of the trade deadline. Two games on the road, two games at home, and all four of these teams are in and around the playoff picture right now.
Yeah, it's a tough set of games for sure. And the Stars are a team that has given the Preds a lot of trouble. So that's a big tone setter to go on the road. It's going to be the Preds' mom's trip, so that hopefully can give the Preds a boost tomorrow night. That's a big one to set the tone for the week. And I think the Red Wings could be an interesting matchup. Monday afternoon, they're playing really well right now. Dylan Larkin has become a superstar, and I think the Olympics reaffirmed that for everybody. And then the Blue Jackets are in a similar spot to the Preds. They had a chance to get within 2 points of a playoff spot last night, going head to head against the team they're chasing, which is the Bruins, who will be the next team on the Preds schedule. And the Jackets couldn't do that. So they're hungry. They're going to be at home. The Preds will be on a back to back. The Blue Jackets won't be. So that probably does not play in the Preds' favor for that game. But yeah, 5 games in 8 days right out of the chute here. And they're 1-0, 1 game into those 5. And I think if you can go 3-2, that's probably a success in these games. And 4-1 would be a massive result to pull.
Well, and especially because after that game against the Bruins, 6 days from now, you go on the road for a while. You play a one-off game up in Buffalo on Saturday night of next week, and then a long West Coast road trip. So it feels important this week, Max, to try and bank as many points because you're going on the road facing some tough teams out there in Seattle, Vancouver, Edmonton, Winnipeg. Wanting to bank as many points as possible could be crucial over the next 6 days.
Yeah, you want to get to the point where that long trip is really going to mean something for you in the standings. And it's around this time of year when the Preds got hot 2 years ago, went on the 18-game point streak, and a lot of that happened on a perfect West Coast road trip. So if they can make it a rallying cry and be road warriors and put themselves in a position this week to make that week a big one, I think it could set up for some really big games down the stretch if the Preds continue to play well.
Preds have 24 games remaining on their schedule, so still about a third of the season left. 10 games at home, 14 on the road. But again, they'll play half of those over the next 3 weeks away from home. Lots of home games in the final month of the season. Max, we talked last week about that game on Monday afternoon against Detroit. A good opportunity for some Preds fans around Smashville. Take a half day out and go watch what should be a great hockey game over there at Bridgestone.
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to have a lot of school field trips and adult work field trips going
I
on
love
for
it.
that game. So I think it's a great idea. I'm excited for it. Yeah, the game's at 1 o'clock on Monday, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's something that the NHL is going to put in more next season, and the Preds were willing to be the guinea pigs on it here. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's half off Michelob Ultra and dollar hot dogs as a reward to those who skip work or school. So go ahead and skip it. We're giving you a reason, right?
That's a great incentive to go out to Bridgestone Arena. I can already hear everyone around Nashville calling out of work on Monday afternoon. So get out there for that game against Detroit. It's a 1 p.m. Central Time puck drop. So our show on Monday will lead directly into pregame coverage on Monday with the Preds taking on Detroit. Max, quickly back to the trade deadline here, which again is coming up a week from today. I know that the big names that everybody kind of talks about are the veterans, and Ryan O'Reilly has been a focal point. We've talked about the massive return that it would take to move him. Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault have been talked about. I saw from Elliot Friedman earlier this week, it does not seem likely those guys will be moved. So kind of as we were talking about the last segment, Max, I think if the Preds do make moves, it's going to be more the expiring contract guys rather than the big name veterans the Preds have on the roster.
Yeah, I think that's the logical conclusion right now, but I'm going to choose not to believe everything I read until it happens. I think the Preds have done a good job keeping things under wraps here, and I still think anything is possible. I wouldn't rule anything out. So I don't know. I think there could be some things that surprise us. I don't think that means that Stamkos or O'Reilly would get traded. But I think the Preds, like I said, I think they have a ton of players who people will want. So I think that leaves the door open for absolutely anything. And I think that's a situation that it's okay to be in. So I don't know. I might keep my head under a rock here and choose not to believe everything I read. Is that okay?
No, I mean, and that's totally fair because this time of year, there's always surprises, right? It's like you can report what you think's going to happen, or you can hear these rumors, and you really never know until the clock strikes on the trade deadline next Friday whether somebody's going to be moved or not.
Yeah, and things can change last minute too, and trades can come through late, and something cannot get done somewhere else, and that can lead to a quick call in your direction. So I think it's going to be a bonanza across the league. I think some big names will move probably early in the week, and then I think everybody's going to be active the last couple of days. So I think it's a unique opportunity for the league to really get some publicity around the trade deadline too, and I think it could set up for an awesome playoffs with some really good teams at the top, a lot of teams fighting to get in, some new teams, some new faces. Like, how good is it going to be for the league if the Sharks get in and Celebrini gets to play in the playoffs after what he showed in the Olympics? So,
Right.
things like that. Like, the Sharks have been buyers. Like, they went and they got Kiefer Sherwood, and they want to keep him around. So, I think moves like that can define the rest of the season too.
It is funny, just in general, as sports fans, Max, that I think fans might enjoy the drama that comes with player movement more than they do the actual games. That's why the trade deadlines are such big deals across all of sports. It's like everybody just wants to see all the movement. And I think you're right. You know, coming off the Olympics, I think you've got a nation that is hungry for more hockey now. And having these trade moves to set up teams to make a run for the playoffs at the end can only continue to grow the brand of the NHL over the next couple of months as we head towards the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you, but we're also at the point where the Titans made a trade yesterday, and everyone was like, oh my God, an NFL player got traded for another NFL player. This never happens. And that's the most popular sport. So, who knows who has it right? I always think it's so funny that like trading is so uncommon in the NFL. Like,
Well,
why is it like that?
it's so funny just based on the different sports, like what trades look like. In the NFL, it's almost always player for pick. And like the MLB is always player for prospect. And the NHL might be the only one that actually like trades everything. Like you'll get player for player trades, you'll get player for pick trades, you'll get player for prospect trades. The NHL actually has all of it compared to the other three sports that it seems like it's one or the other.
Yeah, that's true. I've never thought about it that way, but you're definitely right. Yeah, I think the Preds are in the market for everything. So I think it could be a fun week, an interesting week for sure.
Right, and that's what Barry Trotz has said, is that he's trying to thread the needle, which means even if the Preds do make trades, it doesn't have to be for future capital. It could be for players that can still help the team right now. That's what makes things interesting here for the Preds, is they're in a position with a young core coming up, but still a team that can compete right now.
Yeah, I think the Preds are willing to listen on anything. And I think that's the right way to do it. And I think Barry Trotz will steward them through this and see what they end up with. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the first moves are and who the first moves are and what teams want to deal with the Preds. So I hate to keep giving you this general answer, but like I really think anything could happen.
No, I totally get it. It's it's wide open until we actually see the moves start coming down. We could be living in a completely different world the next time we have you on, Max, next Friday.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know, or maybe everything happens on the final day.
Right. Or we could be fielding trades while Max is with us as well. So lots to sort out. The Preds have four games over the next week, starting tomorrow night in Dallas. It's a 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. Max, looking forward to a big week of hockey for the Preds. Glad to have Preds hockey officially back from the Olympic break, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, same. Thanks, boys.
Max Herz from Preds Radio joining us for the first hour, as he always does. Always great to hear from Max. The Preds, again, busy week. They are in Dallas coming up tomorrow. They will come home for an afternoon game against Detroit on Monday, back to back against Columbus Tuesday, and then the Bruins in 6 days on Thursday night from Bridgestone Arena. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up in hour number two, NFL Combine Week rolls around. The testing yesterday brought us some very interesting numbers on some top prospects. Also, more reaction to the Titans' big trade of T'Vondre Sweat for Jermaine Johnson. And today, the DBs workout, Jermon McCoy will not be working out. We'll talk about the Vols corner in hour number two. We will also give away those Eagles tickets in the second hour of the show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. The Eagles playing at Vanderbilt coming up on May 9th. Not the Philadelphia Eagles. I had somebody text me about that. They were like, I thought you were talking about the football team. The band, the Eagles, they are playing First Bank Stadium on May 9th. We will give away two tickets coming up in hour number two. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on your Friday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.